KLBY AM 640. My name is Tom Likas. We're here Saturdays from 9 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. And Mondays through Fridays from 2 to 6 in the afternoon as you head home. Joe Crummy coming up today at 1 o'clock. John Cougar Mellencamp coming up today at 5. And then Bill Moran with LA Live from 8 until midnight. Bill Hendry has the day off today because he'll be working all week next week for me. Filling in 2 to 6 in the afternoon. And then we will return on Tuesday. Tuesday, January the 9th. Not Monday, but Tuesday. But I do get that extra day for New Year's Day, and I'm taking it, babe. Thank you for tuning in and being with us. And what you're about to hear is live and completely improvised, but different from a talk show you may be used to hearing because there are no guests and, chances are, at least for the most part, no telephone calls. I see the phones are ringing. You know, I guess the person who's calling in hasn't been listening. I will not be taking calls for the most part during this segment. And you'll see why. I wanted to do this show today for a number of reasons. It's the end of the 80s. I mean, this is my last segment on the air in the 1980s. And the other day, I turned around and realized that I have spent most of the 1980s in and around talk radio stations. And I have also gotten most of my years of talk radio background in the 1980s. And became very melancholy. I got into this very melancholy mood. Because standing at this microphone and talking to you is my life. It has been the one constant in my life in the last 10 years. Everything else has changed and changed again. Many times when things have been bad, being at this microphone is what got me through it. When I say being at this microphone, it's not the inanimate object I'm looking at right now. It's talking and then getting you to respond. It's call and response. Just like the old R&B days, right? Gospel music. It's call and response. That's what it is. I come on the air and I testify and you respond. So it's not just the microphone, it's just a way of saying it. In Los Angeles, we spend more time listening to the radio than just about anybody in the world because we spend more time on the freeway than anybody in the world. So we have more time to listen to the radio. And I know you don't just listen to KFI. I know you've got buttons on the radio and sometimes we go too far, or maybe sometimes we're boring, I don't know, and sometimes you'll tune around, but the bottom line is that we here who do this are here talking to you, and you spend a lot of time with us. And there's got to be a time when you wonder, who is that person beyond what he's saying and what he's telling us and beyond the slogans and the promotional announcements and the commercials, who is that person? How did he get there? How did everybody get there? Because it's not just me, boy, I'll tell you, it's everybody. I found it interesting the other day that the Los Angeles Times referred to me as an itinerant talk show host. And then went on in a beautiful case of redundancy to say that I'd done stints in Phoenix and Miami. And if you don't know what the word itinerant means, it means you move a lot. As if I'm the only person who's done that. And I look around at other people who are on the radio here in Los Angeles, just take the most well-known names. Scott Shannon and Jay Thomas both worked in New York City before they came to Los Angeles. They also worked down south. Jay Thomas in Charlotte and Jacksonville, Scott Shannon in Tampa and Atlanta, Washington, D.C. Rick Dees came to Los Angeles from Memphis. Michael Jackson worked in San Francisco as a disc jockey. Ira Fistel's from Chicago. the idea of calling a radio personality itinerant is rather funny to somebody who works in radio, because this is an itinerant business. We are all itinerant. All of us, with few exceptions, come from somewhere else and have lived somewhere else. It's not because we want to. Not because we enjoy moving. I've repeatedly had people tell me that I can't hold a job. That I can't maintain a relationship. That somehow I am dysfunctional. But it doesn't quite work that way. There's nothing I want more than to be in one city, with one person, at one address. My dream is to be at one address for 5 years. It's been a long time since I was able to say I had done that. In fact, I think I've done it once in my life. 5 years at one address. I don't have an interest in moving around all the time, changing jobs. Don't like it. But it's the nature of the beast. And I thought it might be important, as we reach the end of this decade, where I've spent most of my time in front of a microphone. And looking back, it is the one constant I've had. No matter where I've been, this is what I've done, and this is what has been available to me, and it is what I will always do. Oh yeah, I worked as a stand-up comic from time to time. I even did it recently. I've worked on television, but this is what I will always do. This is what I was called to do. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I do want to give you an idea of what kind of people do this. Because we're not automatons. We're not automation. We're not programmed. Although sometimes radio stations make us sound that way. Thank goodness this one doesn't. I could be sitting here reading index cards to you, telling you about another commercial-free music jam, or a rock block, or a six-pack. I've had to read all those cards. I can tell you about another continuous 45 minutes of music. And what does that mean? It means another continuous 45 minutes where the disc jockey can sit on the request line and call home. Because home is almost never the city where he works. Home is almost always somewhere else. The dream of an awful lot of people is to work at home. I heard from a fella yesterday from San Diego who gave up on being a disc jockey because his dream, and I don't think this is such an out-of-touch or out-of-whack dream, his dream was to work in San Diego so his family and his friends could hear him on the radio. He worked in other cities, Carlsbad, New Mexico, other places, but his dream was to be on the radio and do his character voices and do his thing for the people who know him. Let me tell you something. There's nothing sadder than having to tape yourself on the radio and mail it to the people you love because they can't hear you. And it's something that everybody in this business thinks about. And it's something you probably don't know about the guy who's sitting there and being very relatable and talking about the wonderful sunshine. Maybe he wants to be home in Indianapolis or Duluth. Or New Orleans, or somewhere else. But you go where the work is. And that's where we begin our story. We'll continue. It's 11:18. My name is Tom Likas. This is KFI AM 640. Time to go to the KFI Traffic Center and Suzanne Watley. Suzanne?
Thank you very much, Tom.
Tom Likas, live over KFI AM 640, doing something a little different for the remainder of the program today, telling you some stories about heroes of mine. And they're not the people you would think are heroes, and probably in many cases people you've never heard of and don't know about. And talking about what it's like to do this. Because a lot of people wonder, they call them and they say, how do I get into this business? How do I do this? How do I get to be like you? And they can never figure out why people like me say, don't do it. Or, you better really want it. They all think that you're trying to eliminate the competition. Well, nothing can be further from the truth. To stand in front of this microphone required 8 years of moving to a variety of cities where I had no friends, different holidays with different people every year. Think about that as you're having your Christmas or your New Year's celebrations this week. Think about the fact that every year the same family gets together around the same table at the same address. The same menu, and you know what to expect every year. And then think about the disc jockey from, oh, who knows where, Cincinnati, who's in Los Angeles, and his family is 2,000 miles away, and he has to work Christmas Eve counting down the 50 great novelty Christmas songs of all time. Yeah, we all sound like we're having a great time, don't we? Actually, we do have a great time doing this, but you give up a lot to get it. I wanted to talk a bit about how you get to this point. And in my own case, rather than starting at my first point on the radio when I was 14 years old, that's really not relevant to this story. In 1980, I worked in New York City freelancing for a variety of radio stations. I used to write comedy for radio shows. I used to play characters. You know the characters who call in on shows? You may have heard some of these characters on some of these top 40 morning shows. I used to play characters on morning shows. I used to write freelance. I used to do everything I could to make a living. I'm a New York City native. And I couldn't make a living as a freelancer. I couldn't do it. Here I was in my hometown, and I said, damn it, I'm not moving to Podunk. I'm going to do it here because I think I've got the talent to do this. And I beat my head against the wall, and I beat my head against the wall. I had a partner with whom it looked like I could be successful. And I've told this story on the air, so I won't beat it into the ground. But I dated a woman who I met at our live comedy show who it turned out was somebody he was also dating, and I didn't know, and she didn't tell me. And then I moved in with her. And when I told him my new phone number, he said that he knew that phone number, and he couldn't figure out why. I was already moved in, lock, stock, and barrel, and we figured out that I had moved in with his girlfriend, which she later told me about. And it wound up that my partner and I split up over this. And I went from making $1,500 a night as a stand-up comic to making zero in New York City. And there's no unemployment benefits when you're working freelance like that, none. So I went from being on the radio, writing comedy, 23 years old, being a real hotshot kid, to working at customer service at Citibank, answering questions about people's Visa cards, selling cable TV on the telephone, doing anything I could to keep going. Well, you know, the woman who, and this is another story I've told, but now you see how these all tie together. The woman who thought I was really bitching on stage and who came up to me dressed in a leopard skin spandex outfit and handed me her apartment keys. Didn't think I was so hot when I was working at the customer service department at Citibank. And that relationship fizzled. And I was a wandering gypsy in New York City with no money, basically no job, and no hope. And after beating my head against the wall for so long, I was turning 24 years old, and I said to myself, I gotta do something. And New York City, my hometown, doesn't want me. And what I did, by the way, in 1980, 1981, was not all that different from what I do now. That's the irony of this. It's just that when you're employed, you look a lot better. You look better to your girlfriend. You look better to the people who could be prospective employers. When you're out of work, they say, oh, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you working? And you immediately suspect. You immediately think there's something wrong with you. There is also a resentment in this business for people who have not lived in podunk. People who have not paid their dues, which is what we call it. So, at 25 years old, and living with an ex-girlfriend who graciously took me in while I figured out what to do with my life, with no money, no job, no partner, and even my friends didn't want to talk to me because they all thought I was calling them and looking for a job, I had to do something. So for the first time in my life at 25 years old, in 1981, I left New York City. I thought I would never leave. I thought I would live there my whole life. And in 1981, I left New York for a job I found in a trade paper. Know what it was? Now understand, I'd been on stage at Dangerfields in New York, Mr. Laughs, Reno Sweeney, played clubs. I'd been on the radio writing comedy and been on playing characters. I took a $150 a week job in 1981 in Stanton, Virginia. Population 20,000. Six radio stations in the entire market. Stanton, Virginia is known for only one thing nowadays. The Statler brothers live there. It's in the Appalachian Mountains. It is poor beyond belief. And I was hired to be the program director and a disc jockey, working a minimum of 60 hours a week. I was on the air from 5:30 until midnight in Stanton, Virginia. Somebody who had never left New York City to live anywhere. I'm going to tell you about Stanton, Virginia, and I asked earlier, can you cry at a sappy song? Well, you'd be awfully surprised at who could cry at a sappy song. It's 11:30 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Likas. This is KFI AM 640. Time now to go to the KFI newsroom where Suzanne Whatley is working on the stories you'll be hearing more about at 12 noon. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello, Tom. And says when the troops...
Likas. And you are listening to KFI AM 640. We're doing something different today. We're telling a story, actually a series of stories interwoven here about how we get to this point, standing at a microphone, and how people envy us and think it's such an easy job. And talking about some of the things that folks who do this give up. And I'm not the only one, by the way. I'm far from the only one. In fact, there are many who've given up much more than I and gotten back a lot less. We'll talk about them today, too. I talked about how in 1981 I left for Stanton, Virginia. Population 20,000. Six radio stations. And an air shift of 5:30 to midnight. 6.5 hours on the air. What a come down for a hotshot kid who at 23 was standing on stage at Dangerfield playing for Rodney Dangerfield and Jackie Mason and all the other people who walked in. And at 25 to be in Stanton, Virginia. I was $3,000 in debt. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot to you maybe after Christmas time, but when you're making $150 a week minus taxes and you don't have a car, which I didn't, I had to rent a car and ask a friend of mine to drive with me and then drive the car back to the rental place in New York City so I wouldn't have to pay the drop charge. Absolutely true story. It is now October of 1981. I have left my friends, I have left my family, I have left my girlfriend in New York because I just knew I'd gotten a raw deal and I had to prove that I had the talent to do this. And I worked at a radio station that was absolutely dreadful. At night it was 500 watts, and that's what I was on at night. 500 watts. My hair dryer uses more electricity than our transmitter did. I was not used to living in the South. I'd been to Miami twice on vacation. I didn't know much about the South, and I got all these dopey people calling me on the request line. I'd worked at stations that had 20 lines on the request line. This station had two. These dopey rednecks calling up on the phone asking me these stupid questions. I'm sitting at night through these long air shifts of one Lionel Richie record after another and hearing these people calling in going,
Hello, Tom. I was wondering if you could tell me the elevation of Stanton.
No, as a matter of fact, I just moved here. I wouldn't know the answer to that question.
Well, you're a radio station, aren't you?
No, I'm a person, sir, and I just moved here. I don't know the...
Well, I'm going to call your boss about this.
It was wonderful. Now, when you're in this position, you are held captive. I couldn't afford to call my friends and commiserate and say, I hate it here. Get me out of here. I'm lonely. I didn't know anybody in Stanton, Virginia. I didn't like living in Stanton, Virginia. I had to take a place near the radio station because I had no car, and the only place I could find, which was $195 a month and $150 a week with $3,000 in debt, boy, let me tell you, it's a lot of money. $195 a month to live in a filthy, disgusting old boarding house in an apartment that had once been occupied by mental patients who didn't know how to do housework. When I say they didn't know how to do housework, I mean I had to come in and it was my responsibility because the landlady refused to do it to clean the layers of grease off the kitchen linoleum. I was living on Kraft Swiss singles and IGA supermarket white bread and a quart of milk a week I could afford. I couldn't afford to make phone calls home. And people thought I'd dropped off the face of the earth. So my whole life at that time revolved around my taking the walk three blocks to the radio station, arriving at about 3 p.m. to make sure the music was together and the commercial production had been done. And to go on the air at 5:30 and sound happy that I was there. And I hated it. I loved being on the radio, but nobody could hear me. And most of all, the people I cared about couldn't hear me. My friends, my family, my girlfriend, nobody could hear what my show sounded like. And it's very difficult to maintain any sense of creativity in a situation like this. The owner of the station was a real prude. And not only was he a real prude, this station was a little backwards in that. We have what's called a muting feature at radio stations. For example, I have a telephone here in the studio. When the microphone is on, it does not ring. The ring is muted so that you don't hear the phone ringing on the air. It lights up, but it doesn't ring. Well, we didn't have that technological advance in Stanton, Virginia. We had a general manager who could see into the studio from his office, and if you mispronounced a town name, or said something really stupid, or said something you didn't like, he could buzz you in the studio. And not only that, he didn't wait till you turned the mic off. I remember I made one joke someday, and I don't know what the joke was, but I'm on the air, the mic is on, I'm talking, and I hear, "Eh!" And that meant, play the next damn record, we have to talk. And that's what we had to do. I'll continue, and we'll tell you some more about this. And I'll tell you what this does to your inner being, boy. Let me tell you something. And what it does to all the other folks who are in this position. All the people who join the circus and leave home and end up playing Lionel Richie records in the middle of nowhere at 8 o'clock at night. Those are my heroes. And there are thousands of them out there right now. And a lot of them probably listen to me right now, and they're shaking their heads going, "Yeah, that's right." But there's more to this story. Stay tuned. 11:43, 17 before 12 noon. Tom Likas on KFI AM 640.
So what do you want for breakfast?
We just had dinner.
Now, before 12 noon, I'm Tom Likas here on KFI AM 640. Time to go to the KFI Traffic Center and Suzanne Wadley. Suzanne?
Thank you, Tom.
13 now before 12 noon. Tom Likas on KFI AM 640 doing something a little different today, trying to give you a little background as to people you listen to on the radio and what you don't know about us. And I was talking about Stanton, Virginia, and living there and absolutely suffering. And I'm not asking for your sympathy at all. I chose this lot in life. But I got to tell you something. That road is long. Here I am in Stanton, Virginia. No friends, no family, nobody. And sitting there every night playing these sappy songs, working at a sappy song station. You know the kind of sappy songs I'm talking about? You know, and they have all these love songs. And you want to know something? When you play them night after night after night, night after night after night after night after night after night, you start to listen to them because there's nothing else to do. You can't call anybody. You can't do anything. These are songs that I've heard a million times, but they never have any effect. So here I am, I've given up my friends, I've given up my family, I've given up my girlfriend, I've given up everything to move to Stanton, Virginia for $150 a week, work 60 hours a week, because I had nothing else to do. You couldn't even get the Washington Post or any other newspapers in town. It was frightening. I remember Anwar Sadat was shot. Remember that? He was shot and killed. I went out to get the newspaper, the Stanton Leader. I wanted to see what the story was about Anwar Sadat. You know I like to read the newspaper. It didn't even make the front page. The front page was a syndicated wire story called "Fat Can Be Beautiful." That was the day the president of Egypt, Anwar Sadat, was shot. You want to talk about a redneck town? This was scary. So I just sat there every night, remembering to say the call letters and the time and read my commercials and do my job and hoping that I'd be able to dig out of this hole. And the saddest night of all, you don't have to have your heart bleed for me. I'm talking about for me, okay? The saddest night of all, I was sitting, and this is what gave me the idea to do this show today, because I heard this song, and it had the same effect on me now that it had on me in 1981. It was Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, all right? You're sitting home having turkey and seeing the same relatives and complaining about all the work you have to do. And I am sitting in Stanton, Virginia on Thanksgiving when nobody in Stanton was listening to the radio, much less anywhere else. I had to sit there and play records to no audience. A 500-watt radio station. Do you think anybody remembered to call me at the radio station and say Happy Thanksgiving? Of course not. I'm far away. I'm now not an entity. I'm 400 miles from New York City, 400 miles from home. And I'm sitting there on Thanksgiving. And you know something? Sometimes these songs start playing, and I kid you not, you start to listen to the lyrics. And most love songs are about people you've known or given up or left or who've left you, and you're hearing one after another, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, God, I've given up everybody. I've given up my friends. And
So these songs really start to have an effect on you. I mean, this one song was the inspiration for doing this show. You're going to think it's really sappy. But imagine yourself Thanksgiving night, 1981, sitting with nobody. Nothing. Nobody around. And this song comes on and you start listening to the lyrics. And you talk it up, you know, you send the call letters and the time and all that, but the song could make you cry if you were sitting alone at the right time, no matter how sappy you may think it is.
Met my old lover in the grocery store. The snow was falling Christmas Eve.
I turn to make my way back home. The snow.
think that's a sappy song, but you try sitting by yourself with no friends and family on a Thanksgiving evening and listen to that and see if you didn't cry yourself. We'll continue 11:56, 4 now before 12 noon. Tom Likas here on KFI AM 640.
Hi, my name's Wayne. Here to tell you about...
...to a microphone to 300,000 people, and people say, I could do that. But you wonder how many times people would be willing to do the things you have to do to get here. And you think back on all the things you've given up. I was off on Christmas Day, but you don't know how many Christmases I've worked. Christmas Eves, New Year's Eves, being on radio stations with bad signals, talking to nobody, probably myself. But they always make you work. Being far away from home on holidays. Being far away from home when things are happening. My sisters got married and they were 1,500 miles away and I worked 6 days a week and couldn't be there for that. And they didn't talk to me for over 2 years because of it. I just couldn't get the time off. Couldn't do it. You think of all the relationships you've given up. Let me tell you something. There are not a lot of people, men or women. I think men are probably worse at this than women. Not a lot of people who want to move with you to Stanton, Virginia, folks. Or to Albany, New York. Maybe you get somebody to move to Miami with you. Not in Phoenix, Arizona, either. So when people say to you, like the person I talked about in the last segment, that you've been with too many people, they think it's because you're some kind of slut. And the real truth is you'd have given anything to have been with one person during all that time. But there's no one person who'd be willing to follow you on the merry-go-round. And what was the song said? If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. You improvise. We'll continue, and when I come back, I'm going to tell you some of my real heroes. And they're probably people you've never heard of. I'm Tom Likas. It's 12 noon in Los Angeles. This is KFI AM 640.
If Carson.
Thank you for tuning in to KFI AM 640. My name is Tom Likas. We're here with you live Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 in the afternoon as you head home. Saturday is 9 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon. Phil Hendry will be filling in for me beginning Monday as I go on vacation to New York City for about 8 days or so. And we'll be returning on Tuesday, January the 9th from 2 to 6 in the afternoon and going right back to our regular schedule at that time. So join us when we return on Tuesday, January the 9th, here on KFI AM 640. Joe Crummy coming up after the news at 1 o'clock today. John Melikar coming up today for Phil Hendry from 5 till 8. Phil's been working a lot of days in a row, so he gets a day off today. And then Bill Moran's LA Live tonight from 8 till midnight here on KFI AM 640. I've been talking to people, and apparently the listeners and everybody thinks I'm having a nervous breakdown. They all think I'm going crazy. They all think I'm super depressed. And that's not true. I don't mean to give you the wrong impression. I'm telling you a story, and I'm going back in time to a time in my life when things were horrible. Just horrible. I've told you about horrible relationships and other horrible situations. But we're talking about, my God, a time when my career was horrible. But there is a bright side to this story, and I want you to know what the bright side is. That was the depths, being in Stanton, Virginia, Thanksgiving 1981. But things eventually got better, in terms of my career anyway. Eventually I moved up in salary. Only a month later I doubled my salary and moved 600 miles north to Albany, New York, to start a whole new career as a talk show host. And ultimately, I became the program director of that radio station. At least in Albany, New York, I did have one relative. My sister lived there because she was going to school in Albany. And so the outlook was not as bleak at that time. Later, I moved to Miami, Florida, where I didn't know anybody, but I'd been there before, and at least there were a lot of New Yorkers living there.
Unlike Stanton, Virginia, where somebody once walked up to me on a Sunday morning and said, "Did you go to church this morning? What church do you go to?" And I had to be a closet atheist in Stanton, Virginia. There were churches, literally, on every downtown street corner. At an intersection, there'd be four churches, one on each corner. Very bizarre. But things got better. But I wanted to tell you this hour about some of my heroes and why they are my heroes. Because a lot of folks wonder, what kind of person does this for a living? And it is a person who feels so compelled to communicate, so compelled to share and create. And most of the people who do this are not visually creative. They are verbal. I couldn't draw a straight line or a stick figure. Couldn't. I can talk. I can write. But I can't draw or sculpt or fix my car. I can't use a screwdriver. This is what I do. If I had to depend on repairing people's cars or motorcycles for a living, I'd die. I would die of starvation. I couldn't do it. I had to find a way to use the talent I had, and the talent I had was to talk. People who leave home, leave their families, leave everything behind, girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, wives, people who bail like that, are driven by the need to communicate. And it doesn't end up happy for everybody. See, for me, it's ended up very happy. This is the best job in the world. I have lots of friends here in L.A. Many of them are just listeners who I have met and they became friends. I don't expect you to feel sorry for me at all. When I tell you about 1981, I'm telling it to you for a reason. Not for me. I'm a happy man. My heroes are the people who are still working at these little radio stations right now. And they're not all in Stanton, Virginia, by the way. Some of them are in this area. Because the sound of my voice is being heard all over Southern California, down to the Mexican border, out to Palm Springs, up as far north as San Luis Obispo. During the day and at night, it goes much further. There are people listening to me right now who work at these little radio stations. They're in places like Ventura and Canyon Country and Santa Barbara and Lompoc and, there are many, many, many people in many places. Palm Desert. Many of these people come from other places. They go to little radio stations hoping that they can learn their craft. And in some cases, they already know their crafts and they haven't been dealt a fair hand. So they slave away and they work all the holidays and they hope that they'll get noticed. This is a very cruel business. It's a business full of arrogant SOBs. I want to tell you something. Now that I'm here, I can say this. In fact, I alluded to this on a phone call yesterday from a former disc jockey who gave up in disgust. This business is full of people who ignore you when you're out of work, treat you like there's something wrong with you. And one of the wonderful things about making it is not the money. It's not standing here in front of 300,000 people. You know what it is? One of the great joys of being here? It's that many of the same jerks who wouldn't answer my calls 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago when I was doing the same thing. Yeah, they're all calling me now. Oh, yeah, I remember when you sent me that letter. Yeah, whatever happened, we never got together. And I tell them flat out, we never got together because you wouldn't return my phone calls. And this phone call's ending right now. Do you know how many people? This is true. People I ask for jobs and who wouldn't give me the time of day now call me asking for jobs. There is a man in this town, I won't name him, but many people know who he is because he once ran one of the great powerhouses of Los Angeles right straight into the toilet. KHJ Radio. The man who fired Rick Dees. The man who decided to take KHJ into a country format. And the man who flushed that radio station and his heritage right down the toilet to the point where nobody listens to it anymore. It's now called K-Earth AM, and it's got almost no audience. That man came to Miami and bought my radio station. And he made it such a living hell that I decided to leave. And when I decided to leave, he promised me I'd never work in this business again because I decided to quit and move to Phoenix because I couldn't take working for him anymore. And you know what? This man is now back in Los Angeles working for a radio station broker. You know what that is? It's like a real estate broker. There are radio station brokers, people who buy and sell radio stations like real estate. This man is not currently working for a radio station. He's in Beverly Hills, and he knows I'm here. I'm the guy who you said would never work again. Don't ever call me. Don't ever say hello. Don't try it. That's the joy, believe it or not, of coming here. Being able to say screw you to all those people who said things to you like, you'd call on the phone, you'd say, hi, I'm looking for work, and they'd say, well, could you send a tape? In fact, I'm looking for somebody. In fact, could you Federal Express that tape? And you're sitting there making $150 a week, or maybe you're unemployed, and you spend $14. $14 to mail something Federal Express. And then you find out a week or two later that the tape has sat on his desk. The secretary told you the truth, that he didn't have time to listen to it, didn't get around to it. The same guy who told you he was in a rush to hire somebody, gone. Paying no attention to you. He's always at lunch and in meetings and all that stuff. The reason I bring this up is not for me, because again, people take my calls now. But I'm thinking of all the folks right now who are trying to make it in this business. All the cheery folks in small towns who talk to you and say what a wonderful day it is. Who then, after they get off the air, go back to the Xerox machine at the radio station and make copies of their resumes. And then they sit at the station until 4 o'clock in the morning editing tapes so they'll sound good. Hoping to send it out to big-time radio stations. And only to be ignored. And I'm doing this show for you folks today. When I come back, I'm going to tell you why these people are my heroes, and I'm going to tell you why I have a special relationship with those people. My heroes are not big names in radio. My heroes work at 1,000-watt and 500-watt radio stations in places where nobody will ever hear them, especially the people who love them. That's who I'm doing this show for today. I'm a happy man. Don't get the wrong idea. I'm not having a nervous breakdown. But I'm feeling for the people who, during the holiday season, are sitting out there putting on a good act. That's the job. We'll continue 1219. Telling some stories this afternoon and just trying to give you a better idea of the kind of people who do this for a living. My heroes. This is all going to tie together. It's all going to make sense in the end. Please bear with me on this. My heroes in this business are the people who work late at night on little radio stations all over the country. Lots of folks get real smug when they get to the point that I'm sitting right now. They make fun of these people and make fun of the stations when they were all there themselves one day. I was there. I was in Stanton, Virginia. Did the same thing. We've all done our penance. And we can't afford to be smug. This is probably going to sound rather strange to you. And it's something I've never talked about on the radio before. And maybe you've met me before and you don't know it. That's why I wanted to tell this story. And that's why the holidays make me think of it. There have been many times on the holidays when I've been driving to see friends somewhere, Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's. Many times. And as I've told you, one of my favorite things to do is to tune into small town radio, small radio stations.
see who's there, see how they sound. Remind me of tough times. But I feel such an affinity for these people because they're all far away from home. And they're all putting on an act. They have to. They have to. You can't get on the air and say, I'm depressed and I wish my mom would call. Or I wish my girlfriend were here. You can't do that. So you go on following the format and doing what you're told. I'll tell you a story of something I've done. Not because I want you to say, oh, gee, you're a great guy, but simply because I don't do it for that reason. I really do it because I feel for these people. I can't tell you how many times I've been driving through a small town and had a radio on and heard somebody on the radio. And on Thanksgiving, I drove to the radio station. No matter where I was heading, no matter for what reason, I changed my course and went to the radio station on Thanksgiving more than once. Knocked at the door of the radio station and said, hi, I work at another radio station. I was just driving through town and you sound really good. And I thought I'd bring you some food. Here's some turkey. Now, it may sound kind of clumsy and dopey, but some people kind of startled by the whole thing. But I've done this because I've been on the air on Thanksgiving with nobody around, thinking nobody was listening. I've stopped in on Christmas at radio stations, Christmas Eve with brownies. I have stopped in at radio stations on New Year's Eve with champagne. Complete strangers. I don't know who these people are. Never saw them again. They just deserve the recognition and they never get it. Some of them will never make it. Some of them will never get that break. And if nothing else, just to have somebody come on a night when you're absolutely out of it and just say they sound good. Boy, I wish I had that, and I will always do that. I will always do that. I will always feel for these people. Everybody you hear on the radio has gone through this. They've been in the small towns. They waited for the big break. And for everybody you hear who's made it, there are 20 others treading water, working at small stations. Stations where the owners are petty and vindictive and small-minded, small-market people. People who get copies of the trade papers like Radio and Records and Broadcasting, and they take a razor blade and they cut out the classified ads so that you can't look for work at other radio stations. Mean, isn't it? Yeah, they do it. People want to cut your salary from 180 a week to 160 a week. And when you say why, and they say because there's 20 other people who want your job. I feel for those people. I was that person. And I consider standing here in Los Angeles, California, talking on the radio to be a victory over all those jerks. The beer distributors, the garment manufacturers, all the people who dabble in radio as a hobby. They own radio stations like you'd own a toy train set. So they can go to parties and say, hey, I own a radio station. Where kids with all their hopes and dreams and ambitions, they're all working and taking it all seriously and giving up their families and their holidays and their personal lives and their sex lives. Giving it up. Going to strange cities. Living alone. Living in poverty. To make these guys look good. I dedicate this show today to all you people. Every one of you. I wish I could say that all of you have the big gig, you get the big job, you're going to make the big money, but you're not. The ones who want it the most and the ones who are willing to put up with the most humiliation and frustration, you're the ones who will make it. But it's like the first day at boot camp, you know, and they tell you that two-thirds of you will be gone by the end of this thing. That's the way it is. The purpose of this segment of the program today was to take some time out to tell you how we get here, why we seem to have screwed up personal lives, why we can talk about relationship after relationship after relationship on the radio, to tell you why so many of us have lived in so many places. Because we want to? No. Do we want to have 100 or 200 girlfriends? No. No. We didn't. We had to. We had to do it so we could come here and do this. Because we love it. I love this. We will have time for a few phone calls. Not many. I wonder if what I've said has enlightened you, depressed you, or freaked you out. I don't know. I'll give you a chance to tell me in Los Angeles in the Valley at 5201-KFI. 5201-KFI from the 213 or the 818 area codes. Or toll-free from Orange County or the Inland Empire at 1-800-553-4640. So if you're in the 714 area code, 619 or 805, call 1-800-553-4640. We will pay for your telephone call and put you on the air. I just wanted to give you a bit of background here because people listen to me on the radio and they say, you know, you're arrogant. You know, you're such a jerk. You're this. You're that. Where do you come from? I didn't just want you to know where I come from. I want you to know where we all come from. All of us who work here in the little box that's sitting in front of you. This is where we all come from. This is an experience that only we understand. All of us who've gone home with the news person on Thanksgiving because our girlfriends were in other cities, or they'd left us because we moved. All of us who've had temporary living arrangements with people. All of us who've slept with our roommates because we were alone. We weren't in love. We were alone. So when we come on the air and we say we have all this experience, are we bragging? No. No, we're not. In some cases, we're not proud. But it's the reality of the situation. We'll continue. 12:32, 28 before 1 o'clock. Tom Likas, KFI AM 640. Time now to go to the KFI newsroom where... before 1 o'clock, Tom Likas live over KFI AM 640. Joe Crummy coming up after the news at 1 today. John Melikar in for Phil Henry, who will be filling in for me next week from 5 till 8. And then Bill Moran's LA Live from 8 till midnight tonight. Phil will be in for me next week and the following Monday, and they'll return on Tuesday, the 9th of January, between 2 and 6 in the afternoon. And this is our final half hour before vacation. This is it, so let's make it count, folks. 5201-KFI in L.A. and the Valleys are toll-free at 1-800-553-4640. Let's start this half hour with Dorian in Apple Valley on KFI. Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I really enjoyed your show this morning. It was great. Gave me a lot of insight into your personality a little bit more. And I can appreciate what you're saying. Apple Valley, although it's grown now, has some really hick radio stations. I'm so glad we get KFI. But my husband has always been told that he has a really fantastic radio voice. You should do something with it. But because of everything you have said, those are the same reasons why he has not pursued it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't want to sacrifice his family for that type of career.
Yeah. See, you give up a lot.
Yeah. You really do. But I did want to say that I really enjoyed your show. And when you played Dan Fogelberg's song, it gave me goosebumps.
Thank you for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Lori's a first-time caller from Los Angeles on KFI. Hello.
Yes, Tom. I just want to tell you, the reason you've gotten where you are because you've given up so much. And you have to give up something to get, you know, to get something.
I'm not unhappy at my life. And I wouldn't change it now. But I think it's important to look at what you've given up and realize why sometimes your personal life can be rather difficult and what you got in return. And I've got in return what you're hearing right now, the fact that I can stand here and talk to you.
Well, I want to thank you. We left a bottle of champagne for you in a card, and I hope you and Carol enjoy it. And we love you so much.
Thank you,
Lori.
You
give it so much to us.
I really appreciate that.
So you're going to get back what you lost, a little bit of it.
I'm trying.
Okay.
Thank you, Lori. Happy New Year.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. Here's Teresa in San Bernardino on KFI. Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a first-time caller as well, and mm-hmm. I'm an architecture major. I can't write, but I can draw. I'm mm-hmm. just the opposite of you. I really think it's great that what you have done. I'm the little guy that gave up the relationship because I couldn't go to school as well, and, you know, I'm also one of those people that sleeps with somebody, not just because I love them, but because I'm alone. And I think it's absolutely fantastic. You've also given me another sense of inspiration to keep going. I think it's great.
If you really want it, Teresa, don't give up.
Oh, you know I want it.
Okay. Hang in there.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Dolores, first-time caller from Van Nuys. You're on KFI. Hello.
Oh, yes. Hello. I'm really happy to get to talk to you. I wanted to tell you, I think this is a beautiful story, one that is really fitting for this occasion of the time of the year. And I think it teaches everybody something out here, not only people in radio, but other places, because we all have the same situations where people are mistreated and underpaid and so forth. I think this teaches us that no matter how rough it is, it can get better. And I think that you're one of my favorite talk show hostess. And now after hearing this, it makes me even confirm more how really well of a person I think you are. You're very nice.
Thank you, Dolores.
Thank you. Keep the good work up.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Ed's a first-time caller from San Diego on KFI. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Good.
Pleasure to talk to you. I just want to say I'm in the business myself, and I understand what you've been through and what you're going through, and I want to congratulate you on all the perseverance you've put up with. And another thing is that, you know, when it comes to personal sacrifice, my father was dying, and I was in a major market. And he was hundreds of miles away, and he told me just to hang in there, hang tough, you know, keep it going. One of the hardest things I ever did in my life. But I've never really, really appreciated anyone on the air. Being in the business, I've never really liked anyone. But I'll tell you, you come across and you have personal conviction. People can understand it, and I just want to say I appreciate having you around. You're a great person to listen to. And I'll tell you, more than once, I've been driving down the freeway in San Diego and heard you come on and basically just say your piece, and it's just inspired me to stick with it myself. I'm going to hang tough.
Good for you. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Good luck. Stick with it.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. We'll continue. It's 1242, 18 before 1 o'clock. Tom Likas live over KFI AM 640. By AM 640, time to go to the KFI Traffic Center in Mark Austin. 1:45, Tom Likas live over KFI AM 640. Joe Crummy coming up after news at 1 today. Stay tuned. Here's Brenda in San Diego on KFI. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, I really want to say that I really enjoyed your program this morning. And although I'm in a completely different profession, a lot of us, too, have had to make sacrifices in small towns. I started out in a small town on Central Coast with 35,000 people population, and I too was away from family and friends, and I guess we realize that that's the sacrifices we have to make in order to get where we are today.
Yeah, and it kind of hurts me when people say to me, well, God, you're so unstable. You know, you've moved so much, and you've had three wives and all these girlfriends, and
but, you know, that's what you have to do. You have to move where the job is, and, you know, you have to start your life over and meet friends. And sometimes it takes up to a year to meet, you know, quality friends. And it takes a lot to do that. And there are a lot of sacrifices that go into, you know, the commitments that you make as far as career-wise.
What do you do, Brenda?
I work in environmental health. I work in toxic waste.
So
a lot of times I've had to be on emergency